Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 693. In the vein of the last episode where I was pleading for understanding, not really for understanding, for just generosity and kindness towards me, which I'm always grateful for. I wish I showed it better by being gracious and kind to others. I'm going to go ahead and, of course, as I always do, because I can't seem to let it go, traipse on a dangerous territory. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the concept that's come to mind for me about homosexuality. I don't want to offend people who feel like they are homosexuals. That I consider it to be a lifestyle choice. But I also consider, I'm willing to entertain, and I'll tell you why here in a minute, I'm willing to entertain that they have a concept that they were born this way. It comes from my own feelings that I was born a Zenith. And for those of you who don't have much of a familiarity with Zenith, I'm going to try to put together a couple of recording montages, eventually, that talk about these kinds of concepts but don't take so long and don't end up being... I almost think sometimes it will be kind of a best of, or it's cocky to call it the best of the Life Autistic, but, you know, something along the lines of where Jay isn't just rambling on and on, but he's actually making a point. So kind of edited versions of it that kind of get to the point. Zenith has, in a very basic way, Zenith people are people that have an array of disorders that have been, you know, that have been set down. Autism, Asperger's syndrome, attention deficit hyperactive disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, things along those lines. There is a certain way of looking at it that says, okay, is this a disability or is it just a really obnoxious inconvenience? I put myself in the camp of it being just kind of an obnoxious inconvenience, although sometimes it may be a disability because of my troubles. And in the last podcast, I made some statements about I'm hoping people are a little, you know, a little generous in the light of the fact that I have troubles. You know, don't dismiss interesting concepts just because they aren't presented in a wonderful, pretty, normal / local context. You know, I'm not particularly speaking out to NTs, as the ASPEs call them, neurotypicals. This has never been a podcast to try to get normal people to understand us, if there are any us particularly. You know, I didn't go with that. There's plenty of other podcasts where normal people try to help other normal people understand their children or their brothers and sisters or whatever. You know, I don't think I am unique in having a podcast that's actually created and produced and brought to you by a person who probably has Asperger's syndrome. That, I don't find that a unique thing. Because, and when I started this, I figured that there were others. I kind of looked around and didn't find a whole lot. You see quite a bit from AFSCME-ish people on like YouTube. We tend to be more along the lines of doing videos, I guess. I don't know why, we're not a particularly... We aren't known for our amazing beauty. I don't think I'm an ugly guy, but I'm... Nobody's going to say, oh, he's so handsome. I don't get that. My wife says that, and I believe that she sees it, but, I don't think anybody else feels compelled to be that way. Okay. All that was just trying to kind of explain a little bit about Zenith and the fact that this podcast isn't trying to find understanding out there for others outside of the spectrum. This is a podcast for people on the spectrum, in the spectrum. Well, that's what I always kind of pictured my audience as being. You can listen to it if you want to. If you're not a Zenith, that's fine. Zenith is a Greek term for a stranger, a foreigner, an alien. And if there's one consensus that's been drawn over time between those who are Aspies and Audies and those who aren't but have to deal with them, is they all come to the basic understanding that, yes, these people are very strange and very different, and it's very easy to it's a very easy term to say they're aliens. I chose to just give it the Greek version of the term so that people can, so that you don't have the weird connotations of people with, huge eyes and maybe have antennas sticking out of their head. I don't think we're those. I haven't ever seen my antenna. It may be sneaky, though. It may come out when I'm asleep or something, but I've never seen it. So I go with the term that's Zenith. To kind of describe this whole cluster of people that are just quite a bit askew. Enough that when you meet them, when you shake their hand, you say, I'm in the presence of somebody who isn't. You can describe it as being not quite right in the head or just different. That's okay. I can deal with that. So, okay, anyway. In relation to homosexuality, and I'll try to be very short so that I don't go into being derogatory or anything like that. Everybody wants to find some association. Everybody wants to find people who are like them. I think homosexuals have a deeper need for this, as figured by the fact that they're willing to have certain kinds of sex in order to connect with people. I don't think it's the only way they connect with people, but it's the way they've chosen to define themselves, right? When you call yourself a homosexual, number one, you've already said that you are a sexual person. That's the first thing you've done. And then you've said, and the kind of sex that I prefer is, is between a guy and a guy and a girl and a girl. That kind of a thing. I will share with you just for a minute my background on this. I think our society has at least when I was growing up in the 70s, I think our society only had one way of really dealing with profoundly different people. And when you get it from a school, the school bathroom, the gym, the playground, kids tend to make things very cut and dried, They tend to be black and white people and tell you, there's us and there's them. And in the 70s, I guess one of the primo ways of being S&M was you were either straight or you were gay. So because I was a different person, I was a different sort of a person, I usually got thrown the appellation that, what are you, gay? And I struggled with that. One struggles with their identity at that time in life, you know. Before you become an adult, you're striving to, one of the things you're striving to do is to figure out what who you are, what kind of a person you are. Where do you fit in? Now, as an adult, I've just come to the conclusion that I really don't fit in, I think I've pretty much come to grips with that. I think it'd be safer to say I'm coming to grips with that. I think I'm further down the road than some, not so far as others, I guess. But so, I guess at that age, when I was a preteen, a teen, I was what the gay community calls questioning. And I didn't explore, I'm grateful I did not explore this. I come from a heavy traditional religious belief that says that you shouldn't have sex until you're married. And I agree with that. I propose that to anyone, even people who are questioning their sexual orientation. I wouldn't wrap up, I'm not going to get into the issue of gay marriage. That's dangerous territory. It's very loaded. I'm not going to get into that. But to say you probably shouldn't have sex, I don't think it's a very honorable thing to be doing without at least an equivalent commitment to marriage. You know, whether you can have marriage or not, even for gay people, if you choose to be totally committed to somebody, I think that's the only time you should start having sex. It's not just a public health issue for me. I think it's really that kind of a thing. I think that's just a symbol of a person that shows a little bit of restraint and that shows that you're saving yourself for somebody else, for that one special person that you're going to give yourself completely to. So that's how I didn't get caught up into homosexuality, because quite frankly, I avoided sexuality until it was time to get married. And I didn't have sex until I was married, already married. And I know gay people will say that that's sinned, and that doesn't allow for trying to figure out where you stand, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you feel that way. That's sad. Because I think you give up that whole concept of I save myself for you, which I think is much more important than figuring out whether your sexual preference is towards your same sex or the opposite sex. When I first came up with the whole idea of Zenith, as an adult, of course, I realized the obvious parallels between what I was saying in relation to Zenith and what many gay people say in relation to homosexuality. You know, I feel like I was born this way. I feel like I've always been this way. And I started to think, I said, now how can I reconcile what I consider to be kind of a lack of resolve to save oneself that so many homosexuals kind of act on, you know, to say, hey, I'll never know until I have sex with a lot of different people, a lot of different ways to find out what I prefer. And it's like, you know, that whole concept just sounds a little to me, from the whole reason of I think you're throwing away something really beautiful. But, you know, like I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody. You know, you chose a different course than I did. You know, do I think, well, it really doesn't make any difference whether I think my course is better or not. You know, we all make choices. I think I am happier because of the choices that I made. There's a lot of guilt, a lot of weird feelings and circumstances. The fact that I don't have any venereal diseases, I think, is probably contributory to that too. You know, I'm not going to say that these are curses from God. I'm not interested in doing that. I think God gives us some excellent advice. And when we don't follow it, I think sometimes natural consequences just take place. Anyway, so when I started looking at these commonalities between the two things, just in their attitude, I started to think, and then I almost my brain almost turned inside out and say, Jay, if this commonality was really true, if there really was a commonality between homosexuality and Zenus, what do you think about that a lot of homosexuals were simply Zenus people that kind of, you know, just took a different course than you did? You know, that when that school kid said, what are you, gay? And when they looked at themselves, they said, well, I am really different from everybody else around me. Yikes. Who am I? What am I? And then they chose to go ahead and experiment. Or the opportunity came up and they decided to go for it. And there it was. You know, what do you do? Excuse me. And I came down to it and I said, being gay isn't the only kind of difference there is. Although, in the past, it was the only one that was really socially talked about. You know. Coming out of the closet, I think, in many ways, has more to do with saying, hey, I'm a really different person than you are, you know. And the only way they were allowed to be really different, or the only acceptable way, the only appropriate way to be different was to be gay, then people took it upon themselves to be gay. I don't want to say gay people are weak or that gay people or whatever, you know. I think what I'm trying to say is that I would hope that people who have turned to homosexuality because they felt different from people around them should explore other possibilities as well. I'm not saying just totally throw away the fact that you may be a homosexual. You can go ahead and think that way, as far as I'm aware of. I would ask you, I think it would be a good idea not to act on it particularly, because playing around with sexual urges is dangerous. And I'm not saying not to have sex. Within marriage, I think sex is very important. I mean, it brings children. That's one of the downsides of being homosexual, is that them expressing honest sexuality in their realm is somewhat unproductive. You're not really producing something. You're just having a good time. Hopefully having a good time with somebody else, but, you know, well, let's not get into that either, Jay, golly. Entertain the idea that your differentness, the fact that you're very, very different, may just be the fact that you're a Zenus. You know, that you're a different sort of person altogether. And that really doesn't have a lot to do with homosexuality. Although I know that many autistic people have problems with kind of gross fantasizing. And doing really interesting, strange things. And I don't want to discount that that's true, but to say that I think these are things that can be overcome. When I first came up with the whole concept of Zenus, the whole thing was about that something that you should teach yourself to do, learn to do, or have somebody else help you do it, is to learn how to steer your obsessions. One of the key descriptors of being a Zenith, being one of those people in kind of that whole Zenith cluster, is the fact that very obsessive, get obsessed about things. You can either let your obsessions run you, which I think is a weak stance. I think that for many homosexuals, sexuality became something of an obsession, and they allowed that obsession to rule them, and that's sad. Better yet, to be able to steer your obsessions. I'm trying. I'm not saying I'm doing a fantastic job, but I'm trying myself to keep a handle on my obsessions, not to try to shove them down and say that they don't exist, but to use your obsessiveness to good ends, to actually have control over where it goes, not to try to slow down the boat, but to have a rudder on it. You have a boat of obsession, and you can steer that obsession, you know, not try to put brakes on it particularly, although that might not be a bad idea either. But look at the wonderful things that have happened through obsession. You know, look at the wonderful products that have been created, the wonderful ideas that have been brought forth. Einstein was a very obsessed person. He obsessed constantly on what he was thinking. And it was a basic good thing. His personal life may have been a shambles, but his professional life was just amazing. We need to do that. And when it comes to saying, well, maybe I'm gay and I should be more of a gay person, you can kind of say, now wait, hold on. Is that me just kind of falling for the lowest common denominator here? You know, I find choosing to be a homosexual not to be a very bold thing to do. You know, most people kind of fall into it. And now, telling other people about it may be very, very, maybe trickier, but actually doing it is not. So, you know, I find these things very, and like I said, I don't want to offend people. Don't want to offend people that think that they're much stronger people for having become honest about this. But to just say, I think the actual act of getting involved in it and actually doing it is not steering your rudder particularly. It's pretty much letting the winds kind of blow your boat wherever, you know. It's kind of being rudderless and then trying to justify what happened in your mind. Well, you know, I've always been like this. You go, well, you may have always been a Zenith. I think we can probably establish that kind of thing. But at some point you chose to act upon, you know, you chose to start being sexually active, and you chose certain partners to do that. You can always choose your partners. Well, it's not very fulfilling. And you go, well, that may not be the sum all end of sexual experiences to be totally fulfilled. There's other reasons for having sex, and much higher reasons, I think, like bringing children into the world and taking care of them, nurturing them. The actual sex for doing that takes about, you know, depending on how fast you are, takes no more than 15 or 20 minutes of the actual sexual act. It says, and then you have this, you know, this lifelong responsibility. So the sexuality is a little thing in it. it has to happen for children to come, but it is such a small part of childbearing, and plus homosexuals can't do it. If they're being honest about that, if they're just saying, I'm really kind of, you know, I have sex with whatever, you know, and I explored a whole lot and probably provided people with a lot of interesting circumstances, you know, I don't consider that to be a very high thing either, you know. Anyway, I'm sorry, see, I always fall into the trap and I need to be more careful. Whatever choices you're made or the choices that you have made, please consider the fact that you may be a Zenith, and that any time that you're different or feel different from other people, that doesn't mean that you're a homosexual. Even though in our society that has been touted as being the explanation for difference. You must be gay. Don't think the thing that should be that should define your entire life, the way you behave, the kind of person you are, has to be defined by some obnoxious, snotty kid at a playground that's just trying to make you feel bad. You know, I think that's a pretty sad event to say, well, this is how I've chosen to find myself, because at some point way back in the past, somebody decided they wanted to call me gay because they were trying to make me feel bad. You know, let's try to avoid that if we can. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 693. The email address is autism@quix.us. And have a great day.